Let's kick off this week by looking back in time as far as we currently can. I met Dan Stark, a researcher at Cambridge University, to find out what we're looking for at the very edge of our observational limits.
The primary goal, one of the main goals of observational cosmology, is to put together a picture of the universe from its origins to the present day. Now, there are several important missing chapters, and these missing chapters contain some of the most important events in cosmic history: the formation of the first stars, galaxies, and black holes. So what we're trying to do is peer back deep enough into space that we can capture these first stars and galaxies as they turn on for the first time. Okay, and so, you know, this is a quest for the origins of the stars. We'd like to know what these objects are, how they live, how they died. Okay, and we don't just want to find these objects, but it turns out it's quite crucial to understand the nature of these systems, their masses, their metallicities, to put together a picture of early galaxy formation. So this is a crucial missing chapter that we're trying to fill in and observationally characterize.
What are our observational limits at the moment? How far can we actually see?
Well, with the deepest images from Hubble, we can push back about 500 million years after the Big Bang. And at that point, we're really at the limit. I mean, there's one galaxy that we think lies at about that distance. But Hubble's continuing to observe deep space. There are plenty of new programs, data coming in day by day now. So I think within the next 3 years, we're going to have many more of these galaxies detected 500 million years after the Big Bang. So our picture, our census of the galaxies, the star formation in this early interval will really be filled in over the next 3 to 4 years from Hubble.
So if you could paint me a picture, what's going on in the universe such a short period after the Big Bang?
Right. So the universe enters the Dark Ages, we believe, about 370,000 years after the Big Bang, when the first stable atoms form. So at this point, the universe is filled largely with hydrogen and helium. Okay, and this was before any stars, any galaxies had turned on. At some point, these first luminous objects appear. We don't know when, we don't know what these objects are. And over time, as the hydrogen clouds from which these first stars form begin to grow in density further, we begin to get galaxies. We get more and more of these galaxies spread throughout the universe, and they grow larger and larger in size. They begin to contain more and more stars. They begin to have, we think, black holes in their center. You know, at the limits of which, where we have reasonable observations now, we have a landscape, a picture of the universe, say, 900 million years after the Big Bang. We see many galaxies, some containing billions, hundreds of billions of stars in them. This is obviously a dramatically different picture than existed in this earlier Dark Ages.
We obviously have very few observations to rely on so far, but what we are starting to see, does it tally with the theory? Does it tally with what we expect?
There's some interesting results, actually. I mean, one of the things we're finding, one of the big questions, is what caused this process of reionization? What caused hydrogen in deep space to be disassociated into its constituent electrons and protons? Conventional wisdom, what theorists tell us, is that it's the emergence of the first stars, the first galaxies, the UV radiation from massive stars in these systems ionizes, it dissociates the hydrogen in deep space. Okay, so what we're able to do with these deep Hubble images, we're able to create a census of the amount of young massive stars in the early universe and see whether indeed there's enough starlight, enough energetic radiation to completely dissociate hydrogen in deep space to achieve this process of reionization. Owing to the fact that our results are finding fewer and fewer galaxies as we look back early in time, there's actually appearing to be some tension. As we see fewer and fewer galaxies in the early universe, okay, the number of galaxies per unit volume decreases. So then the question becomes, are there other energetic sources out there? Perhaps there are mini black holes which are accreting, and as they accrete matter onto them, they pump out hard radiation into deep space, and perhaps there's a significant population of these objects at very early periods. Perhaps there's a set of decaying particles that are sometimes proposed also producing radiation. So, you know, in many ways, I think the field is still young, but I think there's some tantalizing tension between what the theorists tell us, what caused reionization, and what the observations are telling us as to whether galaxies indeed dominated the process.
So what's the next step? What do we need to do now in order to try and relieve some of these tensions, or to try and at least find more observations to help build the bigger picture?
Well, there's two steps here. One, obviously, we need a better census of energetic objects in the early universe. We need to take more data with Hubble, okay? And this is happening as we speak. We're improving our census of the galaxies within this period between 500 million years after the Big Bang and 1 billion years after the Big Bang. And so this is step one. Step two, though, we need to learn more about the physical nature of these early galaxies themselves. Okay, it's not enough to just be able to count up these early galaxies. We need to know how much energetic radiation these systems are injecting into deep space. And this involves very detailed studies, which are beyond the capabilities of our current facilities. But what we can do now is look at analogs of these very distant sources in the more local universe, and which for me means, you know, we're talking 2 to 3 billion years after the Big Bang still, so quite early on, redshift 2 to 3. Okay, and we look at these analogs, find galaxies that appear very similar to the earliest systems, and we try to understand the physical nature of these systems and how much energetic radiation they're producing into deep space. These are two things we need to help firm up the contribution of star-forming galaxies to reionization. There are other experiments which are underway to try to not just search for the energetic radiation, but to try to find the hydrogen itself, using radio telescopes, searching for the signal from this early hydrogen, okay? And by mapping the distribution of hydrogen over time, okay, you can actually begin to put some picture together of the nature of the sources that were responsible of. So, you know, when we look a decade in the future, we think hopefully these radio experiments will be working in concert with our deep galaxy experiments, and we'll be able to put together a picture of where the ionized patches are and what sources are there to do the ionizing. So I think the future is bright on timescales of 5 to 10 years for firming up the nature of the earliest energetic sources.
So the future is bright for the understanding of the past. That was Dan Stark from the Institute of Astronomy in Cambridge.